ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ. ಪೂರ್ಣಮದ ಪೂರ್ಣಮಿದಂ ಪೂರ್ಣಾತ್ ಪೂರ್ಣಮುದಚ್ಯತೆ ಪೂರ್ಣಸ್ಯ ಪೂರ್ಣಮಾದಾಯ ಪೂರ್ಣಮೇವಾವಶಿಷ್ಯತೆ. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ. ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ. ಸದಾಶಿವ ಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾಂ. ಮೌನವ್ಯಾಖ್ಯ ಪ್ರಕಟಿತ ಪರಬ್ರಹ್ಮತತ್ವಂ ಯುವಾನಂ ವರ್ಷಿಷ್ಠಾಂತೇ ವಸದೃಶಿಗಣೈ ಆವೃತಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನಿಷ್ಠೈ ಆಚಾರ್ಯೇಂದ್ರಂ ಕರಕಲಿತ ಚಿನ್ಮುದ್ರಮಾನಂದರೂಪಂ ಸ್ವಾತ್ಮಾರಾಮಂ ಮುದಿತವದನಂ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಮೂರ್ತಿಮೀಡೇ. ವಡಬಿಟಪಿ ಸಮೀಭೇ ಭೂಮಿಭಾಗೇ ನಿಷಣ್ಣಂ ಸಕಲ ಮುನಿಜನಾನಾಂ ಜ್ಞಾನದಾತಾರಮಾರಾತ್ ತ್ರಿಭುವನ ಗುರುಮೀಶಂ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಮೂರ್ತಿದೇವಂ ಜನನ ಮರಣ ದುಃಖಛೇದಕ್ಷಂ ನಮಾಮಿ. ಚಿತ್ರಂ ವಟತರೋರ್ಮೂಲೆ ವೃದ್ಧಾ ಶಿಷ್ಯಾ ಗುರೋರ್ಯುವಾ ಗುರೋಸ್ತು ಮೌನಂ ವ್ಯಾಖ್ಯಾನಂ ಶಿಷ್ಯಾಸ್ತು ಚಿನ್ನ ಸಂಶಯಾಃ ನಿಧಯೇ ಸರ್ವವಿದ್ಯಾನಾಂ ಭಿಷಜೇ ಭವರೋಗಿಣಾಂ ಗುರವೇ ಸರ್ವಲೋಕಾನಾಂ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ನಮಃ. ಓಂ ನಮಃ ಪ್ರಣವಾರ್ಥಾಯ ಶುದ್ಧ ಜ್ಞಾನೈಕಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ನಿರ್ಮಲಾಯ ಪ್ರಶಾಂತಾಯ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ನಮಃ. ವಿಶ್ವಂ ದರ್ಪಣ ದೃಶ್ಯಮಾನ ನಗರೀ ತುಲ್ಯಂ ನಿಜಾಂತರ್ಗತಂ ಪಶ್ಯನ್ನಾತ್ಮನಿ ಮಾಯಯಾ ಬಹುರಿವೋದ್ಭೂತಂ ಯಥಾ ನಿದ್ರಯಾ ಯಸ್ ಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ ಕುರುತೆ ಪ್ರಬೋಧ ಸಮಯೇ ಸ್ವಾತ್ಮಾನಮೇವಾದ್ವಯಂ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ನಮಗಿದಂ ಶ್ರೀ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಮೂರ್ತಯೇ. ಆಸ್ ವಾಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ವೆಬಿನಾರ್ ವೆನ್ ವಿ ಕಮ್ ಟು ದಿ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಶ್ಲೋಕ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಮೂರ್ತಿ ಸ್ತೋತ್ರಂ ಆಲ್ರೆಡಿ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಸ್ಯೂಮ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಗಾನ್ ಥ್ರೂ ದ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಆತ್ಮ ಅನಾತ್ಮ ವಿವೇಕ. ಇನ್ ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ವೆಬಿನಾರ್ ವಿ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಗೇವ್ ಫೈವ್ ಎಸೆನ್ಷಿಯಲ್ ಫೀಚರ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ತತ್ವಬೋಧ ಟು ಸಮ್ಮರೈಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಆತ್ಮ ಅನಾತ್ಮ ವಿವೇಕ. ದೆನ್ ದಿ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಅಟ್ ದಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ವಿ ರೈಸ್ಡ್ is the subject matter of the first stotra, that is, what is the relationship between the I, the Atma, the conscious principle, and the entire universe, the Jagat, which is inert matter, Jada Vastu. So, Atma, Anatma, Sambandha, that is the subject matter of the first verse of the Dakshinamurti Stotram. So, that is what we saw in the last webinar. So, the relationship between Atma and Anatma. And as was discussed earlier, again, Shankaracharya assumes that we have gone through the topic of Atma Anatma Viveka already. That's what he assumes. So, now, if the present topic of Atma Anatma Viveka, Atma Anatma Sambandha, the relationship, if that has to be relevant, unless we know the viveka between them, we cannot understand the sambandha between them. When we talk about sambandha or any relationship for that matter, what does it presuppose? It presupposes two things. Because relationship is possible only between two things. So if I have to talk about atma anatma sambandha, relationship between atma and anatma, first I should know that there are two things. One is Atma, another is Anatma. Then the question will be, what is the relationship between them? And that is why in the introduction also, we dealt with this topic of Atma, Anatma, Viveka independently. And we saw that Atma is my real nature of consciousness, the real I, the capital I, the experiencer I, the nature of consciousness, who is the experiencer of everything. And everything that is experienced, the world of objects, it is called anatma. which again consists of three components, the external world, the body and the mind. We already went through all this earlier. I'm just only recapturing whatever was said earlier. So Atma is consciousness and Anatma is inert matter, which is world, body, mind. All are inert matter. Now, what is the relationship between consciousness and matter? Shankaracharya tries to explain this with the help of two beautiful examples in this shloka. We will first study actually these two examples independently, and then we will enter into the actual stotra. Each verse is actually very, very deep in its meaning, imparting many different facets of Vedanta, actually, to be honest. That is, the Dakshinamurti Sotram is included as a Vedantic text. So every verse is better for us, it is convenient if it is studied independently, because independent study means I have some freedom, at least some flexibility. Once I come to a verse, my freedom is limited by the words of the verse only. At least if I limit to only one verse, it is shy. And that is why we are adopting this trick now to explain Dakshinamurti Stotram, to have some elbow room, as Swamiji says, to talk about a few things which were already told elsewhere in the scriptures. And the first example Shankaracharya gives is Darpana Nagari Drishtantaha. And the second example he gives is Swapna Nagari Drishtantaha. I will explain all of them. So to simplify, we can use the words Darpana Drishtantaha and Swapna Drishtantaha. Drishtanta is example. So first we will study these two examples. Now let us imagine that there is a huge mirror kept in front of a large city. So you have to imagine, these are a lot of creativities here. We have to imagine a large mirror kept in front of a huge city. We are not worried about the city as such. We are keeping a mirror in front of the city. We are worried about the image of the city in the mirror only, not the actual city itself. So imagine a huge mirror in front of the city. And what do we really experience when we have that? On the mirror, we see the reflection of the city, which is the Pratibimba Nagari. Because Nagaram is the actual city, so this is the Pratibimba Nagaram we are seeing, the reflected city that is obtaining in the mirror. So sometimes, for example, when you go to big hotels and all that, they keep a large mirror on the fire and all. That will make you feel that the fire is too large. If you want to appear a room very big, we normally keep a mirror, even in houses. We do all this. So we think first that the hall is too long. That's what we call too big. Then we see ourselves, that only you come to know that this is only a hall, the same hall, which is only magnified or which is seen so many times in the mirror as a reflected object, giving an apparent bigness. So it is to give you a false idea actually of the bigness of the room. That's what they do. We can all use the same trick, because even in our houses, if you want our houses, rooms to look big, we can put a mirror. So now we have two things now. One, the mirror, and two, the reflected city or the reflected world obtained in the mirror. We have kept a large mirror before the city or the world. So the reflected city obtained in the mirror. So the reflected city is called Darpana Nagari. Darpanam refers to mirror, and Darpana Nagari is the reflected city, and it is not the original city. The original should be forgotten now at this moment. For the sake of studying this example, let us forget the original city. Let us only concentrate on the reflected city and the mirror. The mind should be focused on the reflected city and on the reflecting medium, the mirror. So we have got Darpana Nagari, Darpana and Nagari, the mirror and the Nagari. Now, what is the relationship between this Darpana, the mirror, and the Nagari, the city? Now, we have to analyze that. So, what type of city? It's not the original city. What type of city, the reflected city it is? When we make a comparative study, we come to recognize several features of the mirror. Number one, the mirror is the support of the entire city, reflected city. Forget the original city. The mirror is the support of the entire city, the Adhishtanam. So, which street? Not the original street. It is cut off from your mind now, right now. Because if you keep on thinking about the original street, then the gullies and all, it won't make sense now. We'll only look at the reflected city, reflected streets and gullies. So mirror is the supporter, and the street and anything else in the mirror, in the reflected city, they are all supported by the mirror. So the relationship is called supporter-supported relationship, or adhishtana-adeya-sambandha. So this is one relationship. Adhishtana, mirror is adhishtana, and adeya, that is supported. So adhishtana-adeya-sambandha is one. So therefore, no part of the city can exist outside the mirror. This, we are talking about the reflections. So no part of the reflected city can exist outside the mirror. And again, wherever the reflected city is there is the mirror, the adhishtanam. Because that is a support, without which you cannot see the reflected city at all. So adhishtanatvam, the adhishtha supportership of the mirror, is its first feature. The first feature of the mirror is, it is the adhishtanam, so adhishtanatvam. So that is what we have to learn from this example, number one. And the second feature, again we have to understand here is, the reflected city, the Pratibimba Nagari, does not have an existence of its own, even though it is experienced by me. When I look at the reflection in the mirror, I experience everything in the reflected city. I see movements, I see a tree, I see the leaves, you know, they are all moving. I see all of them. I experience all of them in the Pratibimba Nagari, but it doesn't have an existence of its own. I very much experience the mirror city, the motions of the city, the people, transactions, all I experience in the mirror. But none of them have their own existence. They are all borrowed. The existence for all those objects I see in the mirror, they are all borrowed from the mirror. So the reflected city has borrowed existence, that is called Paratantra Satta, whereas the mirror has its own existence, that is called Swatantra Satta, which is not borrowed from the reflection. So whether the reflection is there or not, mirror exists. Okay. So, but reflection cannot exist without the mirror, but mirror can exist without the reflection. So what is the second point? Mirror is Satya Vastu, having independent existence, whereas the reflection is Mithya, having dependent existence. So the adhishtanatvam of the mirror is the first feature, and satyatvam of the mirror is the second feature. Then what is the next thing that we have to discern here also from this example? Whatever event that happens in the reflected city will not affect the mirror. If there is a reflected fire, for example, in the reflection you see something burning, reflected fire, it does not burn the mirror. If there is reflected water, that water does not wet the mirror. So mirror is achedyaha, adahyaha, aklebyaha, asoshyaha. We saw, actually all these things are from Bhagavad Gita. It cannot be cut, achedyaha, adahyaha, it cannot be burnt, aklebyaha, it cannot be drowned, asoshyaha, it cannot be dried. None of those things can happen to the mirror. By the reflected fire or the reflected water, reflected stone, whatever it is, none of them can affect the mirror. So whatever happens, I experience it. I see burning, I see wetting, everything I see all of them happening, but the mirror is not affected. It is asangaha. It has asangatvam. So the third feature is asangatvam, unaffectedness. It is no relationship at all of the mirror. That is the third feature. And what is the fourth feature? Actually, we are only taking about the minimum number of features to explain this shloka. We have to understand. People can keep on, they can go on arguing so many things. So each one, we can go on endlessly, but we take only the minimum number of the features to explain this shloka. Since the reflected object or mithya, having no existence of its own, they are as good as non-existent. In Vedanta, these are all, this is how people make arguments. Because the reflected object, or its mithya, having no existence of its own, they are as good as non-existence, which means they cannot be counted along with the mirror. This we already saw that earlier in Vedanta topic. while counting the number of objects, what we will do? We will count mirror number one. Mirror is number one. Can we count the reflection in the mirror as number two, the objects reflected in the mirror as number two? We don't count that. So they are uncountable. And so what is countable is only one, namely the mirror. Even though there are hundreds and thousands of reflected objects in the mirror, none of them can add up to the mirror. So what is the fourth feature now? Advayatvam. Without a second thing, non-duality of the mirror. This is the fourth feature. So adhishtanatvam, satyatvam, asangatvam and advitiyatvam are the features of the mirror to be noted. So these are the things we have to understand. Then what is the relationship between them? We can say it is adhishtana, adeya, sambandha or satya, mithya, sambandha. The relationship between the mirror and the reflected city is adhishtana, adeya, sambandha, supporter, supported relationship or satya, mithya, sambandha, real and ephemeral or mithya, sambandha. So this is what Shankaracharya wants to communicate through the Darpana Nagari Drishtanta, through that example. Then what he did, he wants to improve upon this example himself a little more. So he gives a second example, and what is that example? Swapna Nagari Drishtanta, Swapna Nagari, the dream city. When we come to Swapna Nagari, here also we have to see two things, like the mirror and the reflection. Here also two things. What are the two things? The dream world, Swapna Prapancha, the Swapna Nagaram. And the entire dream world is resting or residing in me, the waker. So I am the Adhishtanam. So to be precise, my mind actually. My mind, they are all resting. Since the mind is an integral part of the waker, we can use the expression waker instead of the mind. So the mirror of the first example is comparable to the waker, and the reflection of the first example is comparable to the Swapna Prapancha or the Swapna Nagari. So again, what is the relationship between me, the waker, and the Swapna Prapancha? Here also we have to see the four features as we saw earlier. And what are those four? Adhishtanatvam, Satyatvam, Asangatvam and Advitiyatvam. Here I am the waker, I am the Adhishtanam, support of the entire dream world. The dream time, space, galaxy, solar systems, planets, continents, streets, all the things that I see, the entire dream world, they are all, it can be infinite. They are all supported, they are all resting in me, the waker. And how do we prove that? As long as I support the dream world, by continuing to sleep, the dream world will exist. The moment I withdraw the support, the dream world falls. That is the moment I wake up. Because it is false. So the dream world will fall the moment I wake up. Now, do we have a dream world right now? If you really do, then you are not hearing my question. So the waker is the Adhishtanam. And what is the second one now? The existence of the dream world is not its own original existence. It is borrowed from the waker, the dreamer. The waker lends existence to the Swapna Nagari. Just as the Darpanam, the mirror, lends existence to the Darpana Nagari, the reflected city, I, the waker, lend existence to the Swapna Nagari, the dream world, the dream city. Which means, without me, dream world cannot exist. Without me, the dreamer, the dream world cannot exist. Whereas, without the dream world, I can happily exist. So, waker has got Swatantra Satta and the dream world has got Paratantra Satta, the same word that we used earlier. What is Paratantra Satta? Dependent existence. And the second feature is what now? Satyatvam, independent existence, lending support to the dream, Swapna. Then what is the third feature? Asangatvam. Whatever even happens in the dream world, for example, we are imagining a great trip to Mount Kailas. All the travel that you do, you dream all of them. They have nothing to do with the waker at all. The waker continues to lie down on the same bed only. He has not moved even a little bit, but the travel in the dream has gone through all. He took the plane, went here, Delhi, all those places he went. Everything happened in the dream, whereas he did not even move a bit. So the travel does not belong to the waker. Similarly, if there is a fire, it does not destroy the waker. There could be heavy rains in the dream. They do not wet the waker. And if you earn a lot of money in the dream, the waker does not become a rich man by a dream wealth. In short, the waker is asangaha. The dream world does not touch or affect the waker. And that is why after waking up, we are able to say many times, thank God, it is only a dream. So this is the third feature, asangatvam. And what is the fourth feature again? Advayatvam. The dream object and people, how many are, whatever may be their number, none of them can be counted, as in the previous example. The only countable one is what? Is the waker. And so the people in the dream are as good as non-existent. For example, if you are sleeping alone in a room, and if you are dreaming of so many people, if somebody asks how many people are there, we don't count the dream people at all. We don't count the dream people experience. I say, I am the waker, I am Advayaha. So, there is no two at all. So, through the second example, Shankaracharya conveys the same thing. In the same way, Shankara wants to say here in this stotra, I, the consciousness, am the mirror and the waker. And the entire world I experience, the entire universe that I experience, the entire Jagrat Prapancha is comparable to the Darpana Nagari or the Swapna Nagari. So this universe is including the body and the mind. This entire Anatma Prapancha is comparable to Swapna Nagari or Darpana Nagari. That means what? Now we have to apply the four features here. It may be really, to think of it this way may be scary. I, the consciousness, we have to be very careful, not the body or mind. I, the consciousness, am the adhishtanam of the whole universe. No part of the universe exists outside of consciousness, the I. Even the farthermost galaxy is existing within me only. Which me? The consciousness, the me, consciousness, the capital me. Not within the body, not even the mind, within consciousness. But within me, the Chaitanyam alone, not only the remotest parts of the universe, but the very time and space also they exist in me, the observer I. Which is based on what? Mayeva sakalam jatam, mayi sarvam pratishtitam, mayi sarvam layam yati. That mayi means what? The Chaitanya Atmani. In the Chaitanya Atma alone, everything exists. So, I, the Atma, am Adhishtanam. Then what is my second feature? Satyatvam, from the example. So, just as the Swapna Nagari does not have an existence of its own, the entire universe also does not have an existence of its own. It is borrowed from the consciousness, the Chaitanyam. And that is why to say something exists, what we should be conscious of? We should be conscious of that. To say something exists. We can never talk of an existence of anything which we are not conscious of. Because to say it is, you should be conscious of that thing. And therefore, the existence of everything presupposes consciousness. I hope you are all with me with the development of the all this discussion. So it is borrowed from consciousness only. And so I, the consciousness, am independently existent, whereas the world is dependently existent. And therefore, I, the Atma, is Satyam. And the world, the Anatma, is Mithya, which includes my own body and mind. That is very important. The world, it includes my own body and mind, all of them are mithya only. This is the second feature. And now the third feature is what? That is the most important feature. because our liberation, moksha, depends upon the assimilation of the third feature only, so it's important. And what is that? I, the Atma, the consciousness, am asangaha, which means any event which is in the form of interaction, relationship between mithya world, mithya body, mithya mind, all those events cannot affect me, the Satya Chaitanyam. None of those things, none of those relationships, none of those associations, transactions can affect me at all. So, asangoham, asangoham, asangoham. That's what Shankaracharya sang. So, pashyan, shrinvan, sprishan, jigran, all those I may be seeing, hearing, talking, all those are events. All those are transactions. All these are nothing but what? Guna, guneshu vartante, indriyani, indriyarteshu vartante. As Krishna says, they are just only transactions. It is like fighting between two dream individuals. For example, two individuals in the dream, they are fighting. Lot of blood, etc. is flowing. It doesn't stain our clothes or the waker. So after waking up, we don't wash the clothes, right? Even though all those things had happened during the dream. Because the two fighting people are mithya. Quarrel also is mithya between them. Blood stain also is mithya. So from Atma Drishti, all events are mithya. And this is given actually by Gaudapada Karika. That's a very, very beautiful, these things. So, Vaitatya Prakaranam, it's called, there's a verse there. See, it says, Na Nirodaha, Na Chodpattihi, Na Baddaha, Na Cha Sadakaha, Na Mumukshur, Na Vai Muktaha, Ityesham Paramartata. So, that is what he says there. All the events of this world have no connection or does not affect the Adhishtana Atma. I, the Chaitanya. They don't affect me at all. So, Asangatvam is the third feature. Now, we have to come to the... Asangatvam is the third feature now. And also, we have also seen the other features also. Adhitiyatvam also we have seen in the same way Shankaracharya, he talks about the Adhitiyatvam also. That is, two, you cannot count the two. We already explained that. Now, to understand the second part of this shloka, we have to go back again to the dream topic. No doubt, the dream world is inside me, the waker, and it is unreal, mithya, that I know. But the dream world appears to be outside me and real when I am asleep. When I am sleeping, the dream world appears external to me and appears to be real. This is what we are going to study now. So, nidra means sleep. It makes the inside dream world as if it is outside. Sleep makes the inside dream world outside, and nidra makes the unreal dream world as real. Nidra, sleep does that. And what can be Vedantic definition of the nidra, if that is what is doing? Physical definition of nidra is very easy. Nidra, physical definition, what? I am sleep, that's it. But what can be the Vedantic definition of nidra, sleep? It is not being aware of my waker nature. So, nidra means, sleep means not being aware of my waker nature. I am asleep means what? I am not aware of my waker nature. So, we can call that as waker ignorance. Vedanta always try to tell things in so many circuitous ways. So, we can call it as waker ignorance or waker discernment is nidra. In nidra, during sleep, it is waker ignorance only. I am ignorant of the waker. So when I am asleep, I am not aware of the fact that I am originally the waker. I am lying down in the bed. I have lot of vasanas, and the vasanas have been activated and they are projected in the dream world. I am not aware of any of those things. Do we know any of those things when we sleep? No. So waker ignorance is nidra. Or still more technically we can call it, as we said earlier, waker is the adhishtana. And so, adhishtana ignorance is nidra. So, waker ignorance is nidra. Waker is adhishtanam. So, adhishtana ignorance is nidra. So, waker, the adhishtana ajnanam eva nidra iti uchyate. Adhishtana ajnanam eva nidra. And when I am asleep, when I have adhishtana jnanam, the waker ignorance, the inside dream appears outside, because I have this ignorance. The false dream appears real. That is point number one. And the second point is what? Which is an extension of the first point only. Because of Nidra, the sleep, this dream appears outside and real. And so, when Nidra goes away, Nidra Kshaye, Nidra Nashe, how can we translate actually Nidra Nasha, Nashaha, waking up? When we say Nidra Nasha means waking up only, end of sleep. So, definition of waking up is end of sleep. So, my becoming aware of my waker status. That is Nidra. Nidra Nashaha means my becoming aware of my waker status. So, waking up is nothing but waker knowledge. So, sleep is nothing but waker ignorance. And waking up is nothing but waker knowledge. Prabodha, in the shloka, they use the words Prabodha Samaye. Prabodha here is nothing but Adhishtana Jnanam. It's not Adhishtana Ajnanam. And when I am aware of myself as the waker, when I have the Adhishtana Jnanam, what happened? The outside dream is no more outside. When I was asleep, the dream world appeared as if it is outside. But when I am a waker, the outside dream is no more outside, and the real dream is no more real. It is falsified. In the same way, Shankaracharya says, because of the ignorance of Atma, Atma Adhishtana Ajnanam, that is called Nidra number 2. Just as Vekar Adhishtana Ajnanam is called Nidra number 1, this is called, that is worldly sleep, the Atma Adhishtana Ajnanam is called philosophical sleep, Vedantic sleep, which is called Avidya or Maya. These are all various terms to signify the same thing. And when I am in the influence of Avidya Nidra or Maya Nidra, what really happens? This world, which is really within me, this world appears as though it is outside. When it is within me, it appears as though it is outside. It is, now we have to correlate the dream, correlate to dream here actually. The inside dream appears as outside because of sleep, Nidra. Similarly, this world, which is inside me, which me again, the consciousness, Chaitanyam. When we say me, not the physical me, not the body. The conscious me, the consciousness, the Chaitanyam, it appears as the outside because of Avidya Nidra. So according to Vedanta, we are all in Avidya Nidra only. That is why Kathopanishad advised all of us to do what? Uttishtata, Jagrata. How long will you sleep? Get up. Upanishad really makes us to get up. Kaudapada says, Anadi Mayaya Suptaha. You are all sleeping because of Maya or Avidya Nidra. It is enough. It is time to wake up. That is the call, wake up call Upanishad gives us. So the Suprabhadam we recite every day. It is not to wake up the Lord. Lord is always awake. We don't have to wake him up at all. It is to wake up ourselves. Not from local sleep, but from Atma Ajnana Nidra. So that is why Suprabhadam is recited every day to remind us that we cannot be sleeping in this spiritual sleep, in this philosophical sleep. So as long as Avidya Nidra continues, two things will definitely happen. One, the world will appear outside and the world will appear real. So how do you know the Vedantic topic is exposed by Shankaracharya in such a very capsule form of a shloka? He compacts so big, you know, the Vedantic concepts. So the world will appear outside and the world will appear real as long as this Avidya Nidra continues. The Vedantic sleep continues. And the moment I wake up, I become a Jnani, Buddhaha, the awakened person, the Prabuddhaha, the one who has woken up from Avidya Nidra or Maya Nidra. And once I have woken up, what is my vision? I am the supporter of the world. I am Satyam. I am not affected by anything that happens in the world. I am the non-dual reality. I understand that. And the world appears as the outside, as though outside. But really speaking, it is in me only. Me means the consciousness, Chaitanyam, not the physical me. Only thing is what? The me should be capital M, me. And Shankaracharya says, such an awakened person is the guru. That's what he says in the shloka. So, Prabuddha Purushaha is guru and Supta Purushaha is only kuru. As Swamiji says, kuru means keep on working, running here, doing this and that. So, doing only karma all the time. He never wants up the consciousness, the chaitanyam, the atma. So, Prabuddha Purushaha is Guru Murtihi and then every Guru Murti is Dakshina Murti. We already saw this earlier. And to that Prabuddha Purushaha, who is Guru Murtihi, who is Dakshina Murtihi, my namaskaram sent to him. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Dakshina Murtaye Namaha. So, this is the essence of the first verse. And the interesting thing is what? The whole thing that we were seeing in the last class and in this class, Shankaracharya condenses all in one verse, in one shloka. Not only that, the entire shloka is grammatically one sentence. This is also another interesting thing for people who are all grammarians. This entire thing is one, grammatically one sentence. And so, grammar student, what they should do now? They should do anvaya to this shloka and present it as one grammatical sentence. And if you try to translate it into English, we will not get anything out of this at all because all these concepts are so embedded. We need some scholar to interpret and let us know what really things mean. A dictionary cannot help us to understand these shlokas. So, what we are going to do is, we are going to chop down, break down this into many sentences, this entire shloka, because the entire shloka is one sentence, we are going to break it down to several sentences and try to see whether we have interpreted them properly along the lines of our understanding that we discussed just now. So now when we come to the actual shloka proper, Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari Tulyam Asti. Let us apply the word Asti. This universe is comparable to a city which is reflected in a huge mirror, Darpana Nagari. So, Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari Tulyam Asti. Vishwam, this universe, is Tulyam. Tulyam means what? Is equivalent to, is comparable to what? Nagari, a city. And what type of city it is? Drishyamana, which is seen, which is experienced. Darpana, in a mirror. The city experienced in a mirror as a reflection. So, as we said earlier, when we study this example, we have to take only the mirror and the reflection alone. Let us not worry about the city. We should not ask for the reflection to form, we need the real city, etc. and how far it is, where it is, all those questions don't ask. They are all irrelevant extensions actually for the example. So, take the example to the extent just required, not anything beyond. So, what are the things needed now? The mirror and the reflected city only, as we said earlier. So, Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari Tulyam Asti. That is sentence one. And what is the next sentence? Now we are breaking the entire shloka into so many sentences. So this is the first sentence. And what is the second sentence? Jagrat Vishwam Nijantargatam Swapna Vishwam Iva Asti. That is the second sentence we make out. Jagrat Vishwam Nijantargatam Swapna Vishwam Iva Asti. This universe is like the Swapna universe, Iva. It's like a dream universe. And what type of Swapna universe it is? Nijantargatam, Nijantargatam, which is really within me. So, the universe is comparable to Swapna universe, which is really existing within me. So, the idea conveyed is what? The Swapna universe also is within me and the Jagrat universe also is within me. And anything objective is within the subject. That's what we are trying to tell. I, the subject. The Chaitanya Swarupam. So, anything objective is within the subject. There is no object separate from the subject. Object is mithya and subject is satyam. So, this is the second sentence. Vishwam nija antargatam swapna vishwam iva asti. We have to add iva asti here. So, nija antargatam means what? Nija means oneself. Oneself, myself. And antargatam, within. So, this world is like the dream world which is within myself. As the dream world is within myself, this world, this entire srishti, this prapancha is within me also. Me, the Chaitanya. And the third sentence is, Jagrat Vishwam Atmani Pashyati. It's the third sentence. This is how we are breaking the entire words into several sentences to make sense out of them. So we will take actual Pashyan in these words as Pashyati. So Jagrat Vishwam Atmani Pashyati. That means what? Really speaking, according to Vedanta, a person sees this Jagrat Vishwam, the Jagrat universe, the universe of the waking state within oneself only. Once a person becomes a jnani, he doesn't see the universe or plurality outside at all. That is, the world that we are experiencing is within ourselves only. That is, the universe is actually existing in me. Atmani pashyati. Atmani means existing within me. That is the next sentence, third sentence. And the fourth sentence would be what? Nija antargatam swapna vishvam nidraya bahihi udbhutam iva bhavati. Nija antargatam swapna vishvam nidraya bahihi udbhutam iva bhavati. The dream world, which is really existing within me, appears as though outside when we are asleep. You have to remember the discussion that we went through before we started to understand the shloka. The inside dream world appears as though outside when we are asleep. Because of what? Because of nidra, because of sleep. So what is the function of the sleep? Converting the inside universe into a seemingly outside universe. That is the function of sleep, nidra. That is why in the dream world, we see all objects. We interact with them and they also interact with us. And they are capable of giving happiness and sorrow to us. And according to Shastras, even some of the Prarabdha is exhausted. Very interesting. Some of the Prarabdha is exhausted with them. Actually, that is exhausted. Some of the Prarabdha even is exhausted. You know, for example, if there is a sannyasi. This sannyasi, he has a momentary Prarabdha for Grahastha Ashrama. According to Prarabdha, he has to be in Grahastha Ashrama momentarily for some time. Maybe a few minutes or 1 minute, 2 minutes. Doesn't matter. He has to be. In Jagrat Prapancha, in the actual universe, relative universe that we see, a momentary Grahastha Ashrama is not possible. Right? You cannot be momentarily Grahastha Ashrama for 1 second. So how will it go now? If the Prarabdha has to have a momentary Grahastha Ashrama experience for this sannyasi, which is not possible in the Jagrat Prapancha, how it will go? Only in dream. He will get married, he will enjoy Sukham, Dukham, all that as the case may be, and he will thank God, finally he will wake up. Because the time domain in the dream world is much, much, much shorter compared to the time domain in the waker state. Within a 1 minute dream, how long a dream lasts? Maybe a minute, I don't know, even less than that perhaps, or 2 minutes. Within that time, somebody is born, he is grown, he got married, he got children, he went to do that, got married. So many things have happened within that small time of 2-3 minutes. That is possible in dream. So even if somebody has to exhaust their prarabdha, that could be possible through dream also. So what is the sentence here now? Nija antargatam swapna vishvam nidraya. Nidraya means due to sleep. Bahihi udbhutam eva bhavati. So that is the third sentence. And what is the next sentence? Yata. Yata actually we should read it as tata. Tata means in the same way, not yata. So nija antargatam jagrat vishvam mayaya bahihi udbhutam eva asti. So nija antargatam jagrat vishvam, this universe which is really within me, nija antargatam jagrat vishvam, which is the waker universe which is within me, mayaya, there it is nidraya, here it is mayaya, because of sleep there, here because of maya, inside world is converted as outside. There according to sleep, because of sleep, the inside dream appeared as if it was outside. Here, because of maya, the inside world appears as though it is outside. Here it is a deeper sleep perhaps, called maya nidra or avidya nidra. compared to the physical sleep, physical nidra. This is maya nidra or avidya nidra. So mayaya is avidyaya avidya nidra. So because of avidya, the jagrat prapancha, this waker universe, which is really within me, appears as though outside. You know, very difficult to accept all this because our experience is different, because we are in the world of avidya. The moment we come into the world of jnanam, then this problem will not arise. As long as we are ajnanis, we will see it only as outside. Because of avidya, this jagrat prapancha, which is really within me, appears as though outside. Bahihi udbhutam, appearing outside. Iva, iva means as though. So by using the word iva, as though outside, Shankaracharya he conveys that it is really not outside, everything is inside me only. Me means Chaitanyam. I always try to remind you what is meant by me here. It is the Chaitanyam consciousness. Mayeva sakalam jatam, mayi sarvam pratishtitam, mayi sarvam layam yati, matto nanyat kinchit atra asti vishvam. So that's what it says, that there is no world outside of me at all. But I am seeing it outside. That is because of avidya nitraya, mayaya. So we have now got several sentences made from this one verse. We can read each one of them. Vishvam darpana drishyamana nagari tulyam asti. That is sentence number one. Jagrat vishvam nija antargatam swapna vishvam iva asti. Jagrat vishvam atmani pasyati. Nija antargata swapna vishvam nidrayam bahihi udbhutam iva bhavati. Nija antargatam jagrat vishvam mayaya, maya means avidya nidrayam bahihi udbhutam iva asti. So what is the next sentence now? Yaha. Yaha means supta purushaha, that person, that sleeping person, the guy who has to wake up, who continues to sleep. So yaha, that supta purushaha. And the sleeping person, he was seeing the swapna vishwam outside, the dream prapancha outside. But prabodha samaye, when he wakes up, prabodha samaye, at the time when he wakes up, what is his experience? The outside dream world is resolved into himself when he becomes a jnani. As the waker sees the outside dream world comes and resolves into him when he wakes up, same way this jnani. So far he was a jnani. The moment he became a jnani, prabodha samaye, the outside dream world resolved into himself. So swapna desha, swapna kala, swapna patarthas, so swapna jivaha, all those things, they all dissolve effortlessly the moment he wakes up from dream. What he has done? Only a small task he has done. And what is that task? He woke up. That's all he did. So since the entire dream world is resolved into himself, what remains? Everything is resolved into himself. What will remain? He, the waker alone, will remain. Because entire the swapna prapancha is resolved into him. So advayam swatmanam sakshat kurute. That's what Acharya says. Advayam swatmanam sakshat kurute. So what is the full sentence? Supta purushaha, the dream person, prabodha samaye, at the time of waking up, advayam swatmanam sakshat kurute. On waking up, the sleeper recognizes himself as the secondless one. Advayam, without any dream object at all, they are all resolved into him. That is, swapna prapancha rahitam swatmanam sakshat kurute. Prapancha upasamam shantam shivam advaitam sakshat kurute. That's what he does the moment he wakes up. So sakshat kurute means what? After waking up, I don't see the waker. I claim myself to be the waker. I don't see the waker. I am the waker. I cannot, because the moment I see the waker, waker becomes an object. This claiming is called sakshatkara. You cannot replace it with any other word. I cannot use any other verb at all, because if I say I see the waker, then waker appears to be another person. If I say I see the waker, or if I say I experience the waker, then also it will appear that waker is different. Suppose I say I become the waker, even that word cannot be used at all because there is no becoming involved here. I am the waker. I don't become the waker. I am the waker. I was the waker before. I am the waker now. I am ever the waker. So I don't even become the waker. I claim myself to be the waker because I just woke up from dream. So this claiming is called sakshatkaraha. So similarly in self-knowledge also, I do not experience Atma. In self-knowledge, I don't see the Atma. In self-knowledge, I don't become the Atma. In self-knowledge, I claim I am Atma. See how the analogy between the dream, the waker, and the jnani. So this peculiar process of claiming is called sakshatkaraha in this shloka. That is why I said we cannot replace it with any other word. So it is not coming to face or anything like that, or directly experiencing, it is not any of those things. It is the fact that I am the waker. Therefore, prabodha samaye, on waking up, supta purushaha swatmanam advaitam eva sakshat kurute. Then tasmai means prabuddha purushaya, to that woken up person who is a jnani. Here, this is not a specific, the person who woke up from dream, that waker. This is the person who woke up from ajnanam. This jnani, who is liberated, who knows that I am jagat adhishtanam. To that jnani, my namaskarams. That is what the shloka says. Tasmai prabuddha purushaya jnanine namaha. And what is that? Who is that jnani? Sri Guru Murtaye. Sri Guru Murtaye, who alone is the Guru, who alone can serve as a Guru, and who is my Guru. Because the woken up person, this jnani, he alone can wake up another sleeping person. A sleeping person cannot wake up another sleeping person. Only a woken up person can wake up a sleeping person. So a jnani alone can make another ajnani a jnani. Jnani alone can make another ajnani a jnani. So every guru has to be a jnani. Definition of guru is again what? He should be a jnani. So tasmai prabuddha purushaya guru murtaye and Dakshinamurtaye. That guru murti is Dakshinamurtaye. So every guru is Dakshinamurti's manifestation only. That's what we already saw earlier in the first webinar itself. So first or second, I don't know where I said exactly. So every guru is Dakshinamurti's manifestation only. So Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwaraha, Guru Sakshat Param Brahma, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. To that wise person, to that jnani, who is a guru, who is none other than Dakshinamurti, idam namaha. Namaskaram, this namaskaram of mine, I am doing this namaskaram to him. So through the first shloka, Shankaracharya has revealed Atmanaha, Adhishtanatva, Satyatva, Asangatva, Advitiyatva Swarupam. So much of Vedanta was packed within this first shloka. So Atmanaha, Adhishtanatvam, Satyatvam, Asangatvam, Advitiyatvam, all these things. The nature of Atma is all these. That is what Shankaracharya has revealed through the first shloka. So now we will continue with the second shloka in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakritilinasya yaparasamaheshwaraha. Sri Krishna arpanamastu. Now we will open it up for...